Today's episode of Talking Wolves is brought to you by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game.
Green King Sport venues are shown every single one of Wolves' televised fixtures over the 23-24 season. And with over 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter whether you're in Wolverhampton or Warrington, you can catch every minute of the action.
So make sure you keep an eye out during the season for events, offers, content and competitions that pull you closer to the action.
So if you can't get yourself down to Selhurst Park on Sunday for the game against Crystal Palace, why not catch it on Sky Sports at the next best place, a Green King pub.
Hello and welcome back to the Talking Wolves podcast. I am your host, Matthew Cooper, and today, for the first time this season, I believe, we've got a full house. I'm delighted to say that we're joined by Talking Wolves regular, co-creator, and all-round good guy, Dave Azzopardi. Finn's ears pricked up. You're right, mate.
Good, mate. You?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Finn, how are you, son? Welcome back.
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, glad to be back with the whole gang. It's a lovely feeling.
Mr. Jordan Russell, how's things, mate?
I'm all good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you for asking. I like the new Umbro garment you've done in there. For those who are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, Jordan, that's a new retro range, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they won a game and I've been suckered back in. Foot frozen and all that, but, you know, they've had 40 quid.
So much for not putting another penny in their pockets, Jordan.
I quite like the shirt. You know what, I've been eyeing the shirt for ages, and the fact they've done it with the Umbro, I said, if they win a weekend, I'm going to get it. And they went and when I'm going to win, didn't they?
What year is the shirt?
1918. You know? Before you say it, I was not. I know.
remember that game well, then, weren't you?
The finals on George's 16th birthday, wasn't it?
You been up to anything much, George, this week?
What I've been up to?
You've been looking after the dog, haven't you?
Yeah, Emma went away on a. She went to a festival for a few days. I played golf this morning. Shot my best ever score, which was lovely. And we saw the Shropshire Perlo, Jack Price, as well, on the course.
Did you? Was he saying anything about Wolves?
He said he's going to come and partner Lamina for Crystal Palace. That's why he's back. Talking Wolves exclusive. Yeah. Jack Price, I'm back, baby.
Has his accent changed?
I didn't actually speak to him, it's just the group beyond me.
You weren't even there, were you? Someone posted in the WhatsApp group and it was like golf.
He was there.
That's
so
good.
Was I.
Finn, what have you been up to? I feel like it's been a while since I've seen you on here.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, God, did I do nothing? I don't think I've done much. The day after the Everton game, I went into Birmingham for, and it's not something I've watched, but it was great. I went for the Friends experience. I'd bought Gem that for her birthday. That was good fun if there's any Friends fans watching, so the NEC. And even if I didn't know what was going on, but still enjoyed it. So thinking about it, I think it's only on for three more days, so you better get in quick. But yeah, good fun. I think that's what I've done.
My missus loves Friends, and it's all, she puts it on like if she's like doing the housework and stuff. I'm like, it's the worst TV show ever created. Just because it's so popular, but it's so
no
shit.
Comment, just in case
Dave, are you a fan of it?
I've never got into it, to be honest. I've never gone out of my way watch it, though, to be fair.
I'm going to offend a lot of people here, but you know those people who will go for a life and be like, oh, it's like that scene in Friends. Shut up, brother.
There's a lot of people like that. You know how bad it's got now? I went to the last 2 weeks, I've gone to a pub quiz, and each week there's been a Friends question, and I've actually got it right from purely just it being on the TV all the time. But, oh, yeah, that episode was on last week, I'm sure I know the answer.
Yeah, it's that episode when Joey did shove the lava lamp up someone's
arse. Were they on a break or not?
It's not for me.
It's the laughter track, isn't it?
That's the thing. It's a bit forced, isn't it?
If you've got to tell me when it's funny, it's not funny.
I'm sure we've got a laughter track on our software here. So yeah. Might have to, when Dave opens his mouth, I'll just play it. Talking to Dave, what have you been up to, mate? I listened to the podcast last week. You did a stellar job, both. I heard you had quite the performance at soccer. Did that happen again?
Oh, no. No, it didn't. I had quite the opposite. Even my dogs are getting involved now. No, it was quite the opposite. I was awful last week. I think I played twice a week. Wednesday was okay. Friday, not so good. So I'm playing again this Wednesday and this Friday, so fingers crossed a better performance. But other than that, not really done much, to be fair. Obviously did the pod, went out for a bit of food with my mate on Thursday. Just trying to keep myself busy.
Where did you go? Where did you
stay? Dog and Gun at Tetnal. That's local to both. It was, you know what? We rocked up steak night. Two steaks, 16 quid, I think, full works. It was that tough. It was calling me out, but you know.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you've all been keeping busy, and it's good to see you all again in the same room. And with even greater news, Dave, Wolves finally got some points on the board against Everton. But my God, I don't think they'll be releasing a DVD of that game. Maybe for that save. Yeah. That's about it.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, when your goalkeeper is the man of the match, it never bodes well, because that means that Everton have had shitloads of chances. But you know what? We had to. It was probably by far the worst performance, I would say, worse than that game against Brighton, and we lost that 4-1. But you know what? We kept ourselves in the game, and all you need is one chance, and that's what we took it. You know, we took that chance. But it's always good to see that we've got somebody that can come off the bench and win us the game, because Wolves haven't had that in a long, long time. So, you know, I think there's going to be teams that go to Goodison and struggle. I think in the end, both teams probably after about 50 to 60 minutes just wanted to not lose the game. I think both teams would have been satisfied with a point. But yeah, I think we've got Jose Sarr to thank for the 3 points, if I'm honest.
Jord, it wasn't a great game, was it? I tweeted about 55 minutes saying I can't watch another season of this. Like, I just can't put myself through it. Obviously, at full time, Dave thought it was clever and quote tweeted it, calling me a pant wetter and whatnot. But result aside, Jordan, and it's the most important thing. What were your thoughts on the overall performance?
First half was pretty turgid, let's be honest. I think mentioned it on the space that I think that the Brighton result or the Brighton second half just completely knocked the stuffing and confidence out of the team. Like, comparing that performance from Old Trafford to that at Goodison, it was chalk and cheese. It was completely different. And I think if we'd have played like we did at Old Trafford, that Everton team are horrible, like, in terms of the horrific. Like, if we'd have played like we did at Old Trafford, we'd have put 3, 4, 5 past them. But we were very bad, you know. We're awful, but at the end of the day, come the end of the season, people aren't going to remember the performance. You know, they're going to look at Wolves getting 3 points away at Goodison Park, and the result, you know, so pivotal. I was quite happy how it played out, in terms of I'd much rather, you know, again, another thing I said on the space, I think I'd rather be lucky than good, and I think we got a bit lucky. Rode our luck at times, Sarr kept us in the game, and then, you know, we took our chance. It's a great 3 points. Any way winning the Premier League is good. So we've just got to move on from it now. Put it behind us and go to Selhurst and try and replicate it if we can.
It's going to be a tougher ask. Finn, you were there. What was the kind of feeling and atmosphere in the away end? Could you sense frustration from fans? If there was anything like our front room, mate, it was going off.
Yeah, from very early on. First 10, 15 minutes. I think on the coach there, a video resurfaced on my Twitter or X, that one of Guardiola being compared to Sean Dyche, when he's like, oh, and the inverted leaves the space here, and Dyche does the put it in that end, stop it going in that end. Yeah. And then you're sort of reminded about Dyche, you go, right, this game isn't going to be fun at all, especially in the place that we are desperate for that first win. And yeah, it was really scrappy. It really wasn't a good game. And as you say, we're going to come on to a very basic goal in that you bring the big man on, ironically, against Sean Dyche, and get the goal. But yeah, it really didn't deserve any points. I think we looked so impressive in that early game against Man United because the middle, you can get past Bruno, Mount, Casemiro, which is strange to say, a lot easier than you can. Was it Doucouré, Onana, Adrisagana Gay? So it was a really tough watch. You had no sort of Cunha run that was getting you off your feet, or Neto, I think we'll come on to being on that wrong foot again. So yeah, wasn't too many positives to take out of it, but got away with it really.
Yeah, I forgot Cunha was even playing, to be honest, Dave. Yeah. Like, it was bad. It was a bad, and I don't know if that's through any fault of his own. I'm not too sure. But against United, which we all keep reflecting back on as the performance, had a lot of joy just running through the centre, Dave. But as Finns have said there, when you pack the midfield out with those three who are super athletic, can cover the ground really quickly, it just didn't work. And then you're still playing with wide forwards cutting inside into an even more congested midfield. It was horrible to watch.
Yeah, and I think that's why we probably would have looked a lot better with the snake playing Nunes. I think it, I'm joking. I think if we had started Nunes, I think he could have drifted, you know, more centrally throughout the game. I think we would have had a lot more control in that first half, especially. I think on Cunha, I thought United obviously played well. I thought he had some really good spells in against Brighton as well. But yeah, you're right. He was really struggled to get into that game. And there were people, obviously Fabio, who I'm sure we'll talk a bit more in depth about shortly as well. And then obviously Sasha coming off the bench to score the winner. I did see one or two people mention possibly dropping Cunha and starting a front two of Fabio and Kolasinac, but I think it's far too early for that at the moment. I think Cunha is arguably, especially when Nunes inevitably goes, I think Cunha's the player that's going to create the most and have the biggest impact going forward for us. So he's got to start.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like that, Sasha and Fabio.
It could start against Blackpool in the cup, to be fair. And obviously, against the League One team, you'd expect it to work anyway. But yeah. I think Cunha has to start for me.
Yeah, Jordan, again, we're going to look back to that United performance, but we looked really fit. We looked like we could really good in on the turnover, countered really well. And then against Everton, it was like Wolves of last season where we could break. And then all of a sudden, we just like kind of take stock and let Everton reset. What's all that about?
Again, confidence, I think it comes back to that. I don't think that you can say that they're not fit. We saw them do it. And I think even against Brighton, I don't think it was fitness that let us down against Brighton. It's just a bit of quality and a lapse of concentration. I just think, really, you could see it within, like, I think this confidence just wasn't there in that first half. And they seem to be playing within themselves. I think there's probably questions to be asked of the creativity on that pitch. I think, like I say, when Cunha is out, like pretty much out of the game, Lamina and Gomez, as good as they are as a midfield two, I really like them. Functional shuttlers, break up play, but they're not going to create a lot heavy, you know, a lot for you. So, you know, with Nunes no longer being part of the squad, let's be honest, we need someone to take up that mantle. Functional football, but at the end of the day, it's 3 points and you get out of there. You're not going to play well every week, are you? And no. That's just one of those things. I think, yeah, it was a poor performance on the whole, but we got away with it. And it's 3 points against a team that we're going to be in and around this season. So even sweeter.
I think out of those two, João Gomez looks more likely to create. I think Lamina is, I think technically limited. If that, maybe that's a little bit unfair. But like what he does do, he does very well. But oh, there's quite a lot of times where he's quite sloppy in possession. But Finn, Everton had a load of chances. Wolves created next to nothing. When they did create chances, it was off the back of Everton making mistakes. But that Fabio Silva chance, he's got to be putting that away, hasn't he?
Yeah, the first one that he did score, it's really annoying at Everton. I don't know whether anyone's been listening, but the poles were very conveniently placed for that goal in that the liner was right behind the pole, so I couldn't see whether it was offside or not. So you just celebrate in the air and then quickly stop. Then that second one didn't bother looking either and just prayed he was offside and he was nowhere near, obviously, because it was the mix-up, wasn't it? And yeah, poor. I wasn't at the Brighton game, but by all means, that looked like maybe the easier chance. I don't know if some people are crediting Steele in the angle that he gave, but at the time, yeah, it felt like a sitter. And as you say, with such limited chances that we had, it felt like the one chance. And not only just that chance, even I was saying on the coach back with Fabio, it's if that first touch, even his first touch from kickoff or whatever, if it's bad, his head's down. As soon as he had that chance for the offside goal, his head was up. And then it led to that other chance. He's so dependent on, so reactionary, that if it doesn't start well, he was sort of anonymous that first half. And second half, you see, got a sniff again. And then once he missed that one, he was down again and ineffective. So it's just, we're all willing for him so much. And you did hear some mutters in the crowd. I've heard some people slagging him off with Fabio's family stood right next to them listening, which was unfortunate after the game. But we all wanted to do really well. But it's just that I think he needs to sort of become a little bit more level-headed, if you know what I mean. Just don't take it so deep either way.
I've got this vision in my head, and I'm not sure whether it's like, it's not on any evidence, but I imagine his family to all have got the same hair.
Well, not the hair, but the face. It's they've all got that the same face. Like, I look nothing like my family, but there's some families in it you can just go, right, okay, sister, yeah, mum, dad, but no, yeah, it's unfortunate. But no, there was no curly hair going on. Although I did see a little, it was great walking out, a six-year-old, oh, I think she was seven. No, she was six, because she had Abigail Six on the back of her Everton shirt. Proper Fabio Silva hair, walking out, sad. And some old Wolves fan goes, oh, centre forward. And then she goes, dad, what's he talking about? I got a lot of Sasha Kalajic chants at me walking out as well. There's a lot going on the walk back. So that could be a six, unfortunately.
That was a proper Finn Morris finish, though.
Oh, yeah, shoulder. Massively.
They all count. We've been critical on this podcast, probably more so Jordan and I, about Jose Sarr. I think George said did you say it gets worse every week? Or was that me?
Either way. I think that was definitely you. I've said things about Jose Sarr, but I don't remember that coming out of my mouth. Carry on, though.
Yeah. But, Dave, that save and the performance itself, a redeeming performance, that save, I think you'll struggle to see a better save all season. But that's when he hasn't got time to think about it, he's the best player in the world.
Someone had messaged me on Saturday and he says, I can't remember if it was you or Matt that said on the pod, I think he almost needs a good early save and then he has a good game. I don't think I said it.
Sounds sensible, so it's probably sounds like a really good point.
Yeah, but like, no, he was good, and it wasn't just straightforward saves. He was making, like, there were two or three times where he was making double and triple saves and just really brave goalkeeping, but at the same time getting his positioning right as well, which is a big thing sometimes. He lets himself down with his original positioning, whether he comes off his line and he's in no man's land or whatever, but he got everything pretty bang on. And obviously Everton aren't a free scoring team. They do struggle in front of goal as well, but they really did test us. And like you said, that save there, you know, completely off balance and somehow still managed to get his hand on it. It was fantastic goalkeeping. But even Pickford, you know, just before that made a good save as well. Yeah. It would have been an own goal. But I'm really glad. Obviously, he had a much better game, and obviously talks about a new contract. I don't know if it's a bit reactionary just off that game alone, or whether they're just trying to fight off interest. I'm not sure. But this is the standard now. He's really got to perform. I don't think he's going to have world-class games like that again. Or on a consistent basis, but that's a standard he's set now, and he's got to carry on working towards that.
I think it was the incident in the first half where he come out of his box and headed the ball away. What was that? I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember him coming, like, running out?
Yeah, he was shaping up to grab it, wasn't he?
I imagine the reaction in the away end was like, oh my God, where's he going?
Yeah, there's a few of those. What's the one against where he's playing it across the lines? But I think it went to Bueno, who looked quite nervous when we were playing out from the back in that first half, which seemed to go out the window second half. But yeah, I think I sent to you, like, didn't I, that Sarr had the best SOFA score rating all season so far at 9.7. And the second one was Leno,
isn't it?
Against Everton. So they have been unfortunate as well to have two the best performances this season from the two keepers against them at home. But yeah, he was unreal.
Yeah. I didn't think Bueno had a good game, but I don't think any of the back four did. I thought Jordan, though, when Aitnori came on, played a little bit further forward. He did well. He did really well. It's a shame about Hwang, though. It's the pop of them hamstrings again, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, with Aitnori, I think, first of all, I was quite shocked he wasn't in the starting 11 anyway, because I don't think he'd done a lot wrong in the first two games. Other than, I think, maybe they looked at it and thought that March stole a yard on him for the two goals at Brighton, maybe, and they thought, well, we need to change it there. He played really well when he come on, and there's going to be clamours for him now to play left side now. Hwang's out as well, and I think he carries the ball really well. And I agree with you, Matt, going back to Bueno. I thought Bueno looked really...
Like a cat in headlights, I thought.
Yeah, he looked like a fish out of water. I'd like, when he came into the team last year and into a struggling team, I thought he played really well, but that was, I thought he was a bit all over the shop. But that could be just a bit cold because he's not really had many minutes for a while. But no, I thought Aitnori was great, and Hwang as well. I think it was unfortunate. I think, watching it on the stream and stuff, like, I'm pretty sure he did it when he got shoved into the billboards by, or the hoardings by, Patterson. because that's when he was sort of down and old and his hamstring. But again, yeah, look, it's unfortunate for Wang.
How'd you do your hamstring doing that though? Like,
it's just planted, like, he's just planted his leg or something as he's
coming together though. I thought, like, just a knock,
it was a bit of a push when I reckon he's planted his leg and he's been put, I don't know, and a hyperextended it. But yeah, it's unfortunate because I think he's a good player. Like I said, like, I think he's past the World Cup, he's been brilliant for us when he's played, and it's a shame. But the one only saving grace in it, it probably forces Fosen to go and get a winger, which will be, well, time will tell if we actually do it or not. But we definitely need players in, and that might be another position we need to look at now.
Yeah, I agree. Dave, Sasha Kolasinac comes on with 10 minutes to go. I'd like to see him get a few more minutes, to be honest. I know they're bringing him back from the injury, but it doesn't seem that, and perhaps that's the reason why, but like any manager, like, seems to fancy him for more than 10 minutes. He's very much the, fuck it, bring him on for 10 minutes, see what we can do. But I think there's more to his game than that. But it's a good cross from Neto. I think that's probably the only thing that Neto did all game, to be honest. This is the social strain, though, isn't it? Like, he has one great game. It's the same with everyone, though. And then a really quiet game. But it's a good ball into the box. And it's a decent finish, Dave. Can we call it a decent? He's put it in the back of the net, so who cares? But he's definitely not thinking about it for, it feels like, 5 days.
The thing is with Sasha, I think he's such a unique kind of player. You know, he's 6'7" or whatever he is. I think you look at him and he doesn't look like he should be a footballer. But like you said, I think he has got a hell of a lot more to his game. And I think the unfortunate thing for him is that O'Neill really didn't have the opportunity to see him properly during pre-season. You know, he had some good moments when he played in those games. He probably should have scored against Luton. He was a big part of one of the goals in that final friendly against Rennes. And I think chances like the game against Blackpool are going to be good for Sasha. You'd assume he would start. But you're right, Neto, the whole left or right thing for me is still frustrating. I think with the positions and the areas that he's picking up, it would work really well on the left. And he'd probably get more joy with his final ball on the left. But I understand if you probably wanted to play him almost as an inverted winger or inside forward, cutting in on his left to get more shots away, then I do understand that. But on Saturday, against Everton, it just didn't work out. But the one time you need him to do something, he does it. And like you said, Matt, a pitch perfect ball. And Sasha doesn't really matter. He just needs to get a touch on it. As long as he don't do it with his hand, he gets a touch on it to divert it away from Pickford. You're laughing, and that's what he does. He doesn't even jump. Hits his shoulder into the back of the net. And I don't think he could even believe it, because it was a bit of a muted celebration by him, wasn't it? But huge for us. And when there's a team, you can be crap for 89 minutes, but the one thing that you do right results
in champions.
Yeah, exactly. But the one thing you do right during the game is it puts the ball into the back of the net, then happy days.
What's your weighing like for him when that goal goes in?
Better than it looked on the pictures. I don't know whether I was in the upper tier and it went mental, and then I watched it back and I didn't think it looked that great.
I saw Dazzle's video of it, and I don't know if it's just the people he was around, but fucking hell.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. The upper, I think I ended up down one row, and that's quite for me. So, but it looked better as well. I think they had the sun down the bottom, so whether, I don't know whether they got a bit sleepy. But no, yeah, it was really good. It was muted, the celebration, and I enjoyed him saying, "Everyone stay away from me," and then Totti just ignoring that, jumping straight on him to ruin the baby pictures. But it was weird in that it's like, because that one at the same end, the Tarkowski chance that sort of looked like it went into all of us, but hit the side netting. I thought it was another one of those. So I was like, has it gone in? Because no one's really going that mental. Great moment. And then lots of Kolasinac chanting. Neto wanted to get involved as well. He was loving it. So good day all around. It's worth it. Watch 89 minutes of Rubic, as you say, for that one chance.
What were any chance in the away end around like Fosen or anything? Or spending money or anything like that?
No, nothing really. It was loud. It was good. It was a lot of the sort of fitting Gary O'Neill into the Barmy Eye Man. Gary O'Neill and all pretty positive. They do need to get a Kolasinac chance going. I saw his mixed reviews to your one, wasn't it, Dave? But need to get something in there.
Someone said, what's a famous Austrian food? I just typed it in on Google during the game. Austrian food. Come up with schnitzel, come up with strudel. I was like, oh, mate, actually banged on. Then someone replied saying, you've copied my chant. I was like, what are you on about? And to be fair, he posted the exact same chant. My last line was a bit better, but, you know.
I didn't mind it. I saw he's from Vienna, and I was trying to like power rhyme it with that's header. Right. If you did like he's from Vienna, yeah. Loves a header because he's effing massive.
I can't swear things.
It's got to be. Yeah. It's got to be that chant, hasn't it?
Dave, what was your version of the song?
I'm not going to go full on.
No, we need the melody.
Well, there's one job, trying to get the South Bank to say his name properly. Yeah. Sasha Kolodzic. He loves the strudel. He loves the schnitzel. The lad's fucking massive.
So I like it.
Like two, three, four.
I don't mind Vienna header as well.
You can work on that throughout the pod, Finn, and we'll come back to you.
Yeah. Write a little haiku, see what we come up with at the end of the podcast.
Haiku, you know.
Win is a win, though. And we roll on to Blackpool on Tuesday. Anyone going?
Yeah.
See.
Jordan, no?
I'm at PTK.
Garlic bread.
Garlic
bread. Yeah, I'm
at
PTK.
What were all that about?
Beg your pardon.
It's a day before my holiday, but I'm going to go. I believe Dave is actually sat next to me for this in the North Bank. Dave, what are you expecting for this game? Are you? Can we rotate? Have we got the
the mad thing about this Wolves team? We can rotate, and it'll still be quite a strong team. So.
Hey, I think fucking bootlicker.
So bearing in mind it's against a League One team, so you should win anyway, or should at least get a positive result. So you'd say Bentley in goal is not bad. It's either going to be, it'll be Johnny at left back, I'd assume. Totti, and I'd assume Kilman.
Well, who else is going to
Gary O'Neill likes Alfie Pond, you know. I think it might. Gary O'Neill likes that Alfie Pond, so he may start. Doc at right back. I think Bubakar and Hodge in the midfield. I think Kolodzic will start. Sarabia will start. And then it's the wide players, really. Who else plays? He might start Nathan Fraser. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think there's a couple of positions up for grabs. It'll be interesting to see who plays, but it will be a strong team regardless.
No Pedence.
Nah, he's another one. Yeah, along with Nunes. You know what? Ever since Pedence blocked me on Twitter, I'm not saying what his career went downhill fast, you know. So
this Alfie Pons, he's quite a big lad, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really highly rated as well. I mean, we signed him about this time last year, didn't we? I think it was one of the deadline day signings.
Don't go to bed just yet, Wolves fans.
Yeah, Alfie Pond coming in. an analyst from a football league team said, like, he's a really, really good player. Because they'd loaned him out. He was out on loan at a League Two club. And they terminated him.
Town and then the Yeovil Town he played for.
Yeah, Yeovil, yeah. So he might start. Be interesting. Yeah, I don't think he'll look out of place anyway.
No. Finn, what are you expecting from this game? I just want to see some goals, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I thought Fraser had gone on loan, so that's a refresher. It'd be nice to see him get a kick and Pond as well. It's a shame it wasn't away as well, because all my family at Blackpool, that would have been a lovely little away day. But no, yeah, just some goals, because you know what these sort of, the early round Carabao Tuesday nights are normally a bit dull. You haven't got all the seats filled. They'll try some sort of light show to get it going, but then within 5 minutes and it's 0-0. Yeah, just an early goal and... flashy, as you say, we need to see stuff from Fabio. We want to see stuff from Kolodzic, maybe one of the young lads. And as you say, there's still a decent second team there. So, yeah, a few goals. But Blackpool got relegated, didn't they? They're like a top tier.
They lost. They got smashed over the weekend, I think.
3-0.
Did they?
Yeah, really cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you know who they've got up front, Jord?
Was Gary Medine, wasn't it, last year?
33-year-old Jordan Rhodes.
Bloody hell. He hasn't been able to run for about 7 years.
43-year-old Jordan Russell.
Yeah, he's a... Well, he came off the bench at the weekend. He doesn't even start for them. Looking through the squad.
Do you reckon he was one of the best ever players not to play in the Prem? You know that one season was absolutely unbelievable, was it? Huddersfield. Under Lee Clark as well.
Goal machine in Championship, wasn't it?
Lee Clark as well. He proper cocked his career up after he left Huddersfield as well.
Didn't he like turn down the chance and went to like Blackburn or something? They paid big money for him, didn't they? Yeah. From Huddersfield to Blackburn.
Didn't they pay like £8 million or something from the Championship, didn't they?
Yeah, club record fee, £8 million.
Yeah, Venky money.
But, Jord, what kind of team would you like to see? against Blackpool, and I do just want to see some goals like me.
I think Dave hit the nail on the head, really. I think it'd be Bentley, Doherty. I reckon it'd be Doherty, Kilman, Totti, Johnny, Sarabia, Wright, Boubacar, Hodge, maybe Aitnery.
Good point, actually, yeah.
And then Fabio and Kleisic up front is what I reckon it'll be. It'll be something like that, give or take.
Fabio will be good to see if he can add some goals.
Fabio needs to play just to get a goal.
Yeah.
Kleisic needs the minutes. So, yeah.
Finn, who's your mum supporting in this one?
Oh, Wolves, yeah. But to be fair, when she was living in Blackpool, I think, as they all did, they were sort of Liverpool, which you sort of iron out very quickly. I think my dad did a good job of getting rid of that, as I had to do as well. but yeah, my grandpa was a big Blackpool fan. I think the last time I was Blackpool, well, like a Wolves mascot at Blackpool on the day the world was meant to end, that's the last time I've been up to Blackpool. Do you remember that 2012 day in the calendar, the Mayan calendar?
Yeah. December 21st, from that?
Yeah, I was mascot on that day. Ebanks Blake scored. But yeah, I've got a soft spot for Blackpool as well, but they'd be like almost the second team, and it helps that they're in the same colour kit, but similar colour kit.
Not orange. Not quite young. Games are coming thick and fast, though. Blackpool tomorrow, well, whenever you're listening to this, on Tuesday, and then Palace away on Sunday, Dave. You're making the trip down there. Never a nice place to get to, but also quite a tough place to play football at. What are you expecting from this, and what sort of team would you go for? We may have some new signings by then.
You'd hope so, because it'll be deadline done by then, won't it? So
no, but I mean, what, they might not sign anyone.
I don't know. Well, then I'll get my Fosun out bed sheet. it's a really, really tough place to go. I think we were talking sort of off camera before. Me and Jord went midweek last week, and I think the highlight.
Did you? What were you doing down there last week?
Last season, you know. Yeah. That's what I was up to. I think the highlight of the game was Jord, it was like the kickoff routine, wasn't it? And he went to Bueno, the ball across to Adama with the.
I was going to say, the highlight of that game. And I don't know if we can talk about them too much at the moment, but Betmate.
Yeah.
I put Bueno in.
Yeah.
And he got the assist.
Yeah.
Captain Bueno, didn't I, as well?
Yeah. That was it. Yeah. But yeah, really tough place to go. A team full of very good dynamic players. It's gonna be a tricky game. Even without Zaha, I think they've started off the season quite well.
Jord, what's he say here about the burger at Selhurst Park?
Well, Dave said it was great.
Oh, was it?
You know what it was? No, you know what it was? It was like wrapped in foil, and it was like a Five Guys burger. I was like, flipping it. This is quite nice. So that was the highlight for me, really.
Will you be having one of them again?
Yeah, I'll have to wait. Yeah, I'll have to see if it's up there again. Because I don't know if you've ever been, Matt Selhurst. Their concourse is really weird. The concourse is quite weird. It's all outdoors, isn't it? If I remember
right. Yeah, it's got that sort of
like a car park, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like
a big brave area as well.
That's like Fulham, isn't it? Like everything's outside.
It's a little bit like Fulham. Yeah, well, no, but Fulham's like it's not too dissimilar to Fulham, actually, thinking about it.
But yeah, if you are going to Selhurst on Sunday and you have a burger and it's shit, don't blame me. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Send your complaints into info at TalkingWolves.
Do not reply mailbox.
Fuck off. Dave will be refunding all of these, so make sure you send in your receipt as well.
Yeah.
Jord, are you going with a similar team to Everton? I suppose if they do make any new signings, which bloody hope they do, they're probably not going to be ready to start anyway, are they?
No, they'll be on the bench anyway, if we do. I was thinking about debuts as well. It's where William Jose made his debut as well, wasn't it, Sellers?
Jeez.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it was, yeah.
What was the score? Did we win that game?
Win one, or lose 1-0.
Lost 1-0, I think, yeah. Well, it was COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah,
thankfully we never actually had to watch William Jose in the flesh.
What would I do with the team? I would probably bring in Aitnery from the start and give a little bit of cover out there, just for Bueno. And then, I mean, we haven't got a lot of players to pick from, have we? If I'm honest with you. So I think Gary O'Neill will want to carry on being positive. I think he will start Fabio and Cunha again as the front two. However, wouldn't be too surprised if we saw Sarabia coming for Fabio and just shore up the midfield a little bit. But for me, I think just go with what we did at Everton, bring Aitnery in for Hwang, and then just see how it goes. Because like I say, it was much better in the second half. It couldn't get much worse. But now we've got a win. We might start playing with confidence again. And, you know, that team is still the same team that went to Old Trafford and had that good performance. And I will stop comparing everything to that Old Trafford performance very, very soon. But you know, it's the same squad. So let's go out there and just try and do the same. I think we'll definitely have more space to play against Palace than we did at Everton. And, you know, we'll be able to hit them on the counter a little bit easier as well.
Hope so. It's going to be a really, really tough game and a tough place to go to. Before we come on to talking about the Mateus Nunes situation, we're told that, I say we're told as in like not talking Wolves, but Wolves fans are told that they'll be potentially looking at low value loans and free agent signings. I'm just looking at free agents available, and I want you to all let me know whether you would take the players. I was going to go from the top 10 on transfer market for market value. David De Gea.
No.
I'd have him.
The weekend.
Yeah, but it's the wage, isn't it?
He's no better with his feet than Sar, so no, and he'd want a shitload of money.
Jesse Lingard.
I'd have took the West Ham, Jesse Lingard.
Oh, yeah. Depends what version you're getting. Again, wage-wise. Probably not.
Yeah, no.
No?
No, still. No.
Alfredo Morelos.
No.
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 Roberto Pereira, the one who was at
Watford.
Watford, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how old is he now?
32. Yeah, how old is he? Yeah.
32.
No.
Nah.
No.
Zeca, the Portuguese midfielder, I think was at Lille last season.
No.
Never seen him.
Portuguese, though.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Never seen him.
Get rid of him.
Yeah. Eden Hazard.
Yes.
Has he been linked to Crystal Palace?
I think he's going to. He's packing it in, though, isn't he? He's going to retire.
Yeah, he's going to retire. Yeah.
I'd have him, though. I genuinely
I would as well. If
Hazard Remontada under Gary O'Neill. Oh. He says no. Gary O'Neill. Yeah. Hazard.
Yeah. Axel Tuanzebe.
I wouldn't be against that, you know.
He's still. Crap. Oh, that's weird. Yeah, probably.
25.
What do you say, mate? He's crap.
He's crap.
Oh. Yeah, but as a backup. No?
Mm. Sergio Ramos.
Yes, get him in.
Your daughter says no.
Loves a barbecue as well. Have you seen his barbecue since the Peter Crouch podcast? Apparently, he's got some like £1 million barbecue.
That's it. I wonder if we could do like a little collab, me and him.
Yeah, no, get Gaz O'Neill on the barbecue. Is that photo, Gaz? Get Gaz on. Yeah. So
O'Neill.
Moussa Marega. He's 32 now.
Beast. Nah.
Just minutes after playing with Neves. Shame.
No, I don't think so.
And the last one, probably would have been a stronger link if the manager hadn't departed, but Mariano.
He's still free agent, Mariano Diaz.
Yeah.
I'd probably take him.
Would you?
Mm. What's happened to Isco? Is he still free agent as well?
No, he's gone to Betis, hasn't he? I think he's been manager of the month. He's been man of the match the first two league performances as well. I saw it on Twitter the other day. I think he's been cooking.
Yeah, praise for Betis. See what happened with Union Berlin? Well, he come out and said like, properly pissed him around.
Mm-hmm.
So he meant to sign there, and then they said, here's what we're offering you. And as soon as he got into Berlin, it was like, nah, no, we ain't offering you that anymore. It was like, he said it was like ridiculously lower. So yeah, he got a little bit pissed off. Talking of being pissed off, Mateus Nunes is refusing to play. He's gone on strike, according to TalkSport. Dave, what's your initial thoughts on this? And what can you just show the viewers what you've got behind you?
Oh yeah, we got
we did a, let me see it there. Yeah, we did a EA Sports launch video last year. Obviously, it's got the wrong nation on there, but very tempted to drop a little roundhouse kick on that and snap it in half in a bit. So
that'll show him.
Yeah, let's do it.
50 retweets on the podcast tweet, and I'll do it. I'm disappointed. Look, I can see it from his point of view in regards to, obviously, this could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him to join City, but there's ways and means to go around it, and he's completely disrespected the club and the fans. And like I said to you before, Matt, I said the club, it's not like the club have gone out of their way to price Nunes out of this move. Obviously, the club want to keep him, but they've given, in my opinion, and probably even lower, a lower valuation than some fans want, they've given a fair valuation of him, and a valuation that if City want, they should pay. So he's disrespected a lot of people there, really. And I think, I don't know, either way, whether he stays or whether he does move to City, we don't, you know, we play them, I think, early October, don't we? It'll be a very interesting reception. But yeah, very disappointed with the way he's gone with it.
Jordan, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. I know you're not one to hold back.
I just think I'm trying to put it like very, you know,
diplomatically.
Yeah. Don't do it.
So first of all, I think the bloke's got more front than Brighton.
Yeah.
I think he came in for a massive fee. And last season, no, to be fair, a lot of them were. He was utter wank, wasn't he? In terms of,
he was
for the price fee, he was. And I know he played about three or four positions, but for what we expected of him, other than that Chelsea goal and moments of brilliance, he was quite underwhelming. To be honest with you, I think the audacity of the bloke to actually now go on strike with us asking for a fair fee for him. I mean, I said on the pod with Johnny Phillips, this was his sort of breakthrough season for Wolves, because he was that shit last season that none of these big teams want him. He must have won the lottery, because I don't... How after last season, Pep Guardiola's going, you know what, he's the man I want, I'm going to pay 55, 60 million quid for him. He's going off what he did at Sporting. I mean, I'm not stupid, I'm not naive. When Man City come knocking, you go. You know, there's no two ways about it, but I just think, just to down tools and just not show up for work and all this sort of stuff, I think it's embarrassing. And you know what? I hope Man City sign him. I want him to come down Molineux that game, because he won't kick a ball for him for 6 months. So he can't pass fucking wind, and he's going to get the loudest boos ever. And you know what? He deserves it. Utter prick. Fuck off.
Oh boy. Give me jokes these days now, George.
Yeah.
I don't care. He'll still get a boot. You're telling me if he stays around the squad, like, I know, like, Kai said, I've got away with it, Brighton or something. If he doesn't force a move and then we bring him back in the squad, you think the South Bank are going to let him just get away with it? And rightly so.
Yeah, they should.
He's getting paid a fucking shitload of money. Turn up for work and do your fucking job.
Yeah, it's right. It's right.
That's your job.
That's his job. No, but it's true, isn't it? Like, I get no one's begrudging him for wanting to move. So would I. But you don't just chuck the towel in and chuck your dolls out of the pram. He's acting like a big.
What did Neves do for 3 years when he knew big clubs like Barca were looking after him?
And Neves has performed 5 times better than what Nunes has.
And Neves played consistently at a good level. I'm not going to say he was unbelievable, Neves. He played at a good level. He had some shit games, but he'd always make it with some top performances. But what? Never once did he throw his toys out of the pram. Even, you could say, Adama. Even last, like, when the Barca move didn't go through, Adama could have said, sod this. And I know he left on a free, but he still played right up until the end. That performance against Everton on the penultimate day of the season.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to play like that. So
I said after the Brighton game, you cannot trust this bloke. You can't trust him because he's an idiot.
Well, if he's a
big baby.
The thing that annoys me most is that he'd done it off his own back. If he'd gone into Gary O'Neill and said, look, I'm really struggling, my head's not in the right place, can I have a few days off whilst this is happening, because I don't want to disrupt the rest of the team. And Gary O'Neill says, yeah, then fair enough. But if it's true and he has done it on his own accord, then, yeah, I'm sorry, but Foxtrot Oscar, lad.
I think a lot of footballers are ill-advised as well with stuff like this. But it's still no excuse. And like Dave said, it's not like Wolves are saying, well, Cosaido's gone for 115 million. That's what we want. We're led to believe that Wolves want between 60 and 70 million pound, not bidding 55 million euros. Like, and then he's obviously gone kicking and screaming. You've got 7 days just to grin and bear it, turn up for work, play. And if the move materialises, it does. It's just so poor. He's just a big tit. And we've seen that in his performances and his demeanour around the pitch. He's just a baby. He needs to grow up.
Baby.
But what I will say on it though as well is talking about the move. Like, if he goes to Man City, right? Like, and again, like, I think there's comparisons of Matheus Nunes when he carries the ball. And again, I'm not saying he's anywhere near the profile of his player, but he's very similar to like Yaya Toure and how he glides with the ball and drives. But the problem is, like, this Man City team is a heavy possession based team. And he will shine because he's in a better team. He will flourish, but I don't see where he fits in this Man City side because he can't. Like we've said before, he does the exceptionally hard stuff exceptionally well. But try and ask him to pass a 5-10 yard ball, bounce off his shin.
Passing is awful.
So I don't actually see how he gets in the team. But again, I don't begrudge him going to Man City. I think it's absolutely fine. And like I said, Wolves haven't priced ourselves out here. We've asked for a fair fee. That's the asking price. And yeah, absolutely. I think that's the asking price. And the fact that Nunes, he's got another, 5 years on his contract, 4 years left on his contract. Like, why would you do it? Because if Man City turn around and go, oh, we're going to go for Eze tomorrow, he's fucked himself anyway now because he's just completely broken any sort of collaboration he had with the fans and the supporters, etc. He's pissed off his teammates because he's basically saying, I'm jacked this. I don't want to be part of this. I've jacked it. Like, how's he meant to go to Compton day in, day out? Now, these players, like, will just be like, they'll all be giving a big fuck you as well.
Like, it'd be like the Steve Bruce press conference, you know. Yeah. Hi.
I just think it's really poor. It sends out a poor message to his current teammates and around the place. And like I say, I hope the deal goes through and I hope he comes down to Molineux. He sits on the bench for 90 minutes. He comes out and warms up and he gets the fucking loudest boo ever. prick. Fuck off. There you go.
Finn, what's your thoughts on it, mate?
I know, yeah. Just been sat here watching. I think you've all summed it up really well. The main points are, as you say, when Fabrizio tweeted Nunes has agreed terms with Man City, no one's outraged.
Oh, he can do one as well, mate, because he's just like, he just keeps recycling this. There's only so many ways you can say the same thing again and again and again.
It's getting the word count up, isn't it? Yeah. To be fair, you see, we get paid for tweeting now. I don't blame
you. Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah, interactions. Yeah.
He's probably only made about 40 quid last month off Twitter ad revenue.
And no one was outraged. It's like, well, of course you want the move to Man City, but as you say, there's ways to go about it. I think every point you made, I agree with. That is something that's gone through my mind as well, of all teams to move to, Man City. I think Nunes's main strength, as you say, is carrying the ball into that final third. It's where City are anyway, naturally. So what benefit is he going to bring them massively? I mean, there will be games where he shines and we'll go, oh, look at what we could have won and everything. I think he will go, but for Nunes to expect us to, with that 55 million, it's a glorified loan, isn't it, that we'll have had? That it's like, you'll get a couple of mil on top because we had him for a season. Like, come on, like.
But that's we've the got thing, to look I've always felt like, well. We Nunes is doing us a favour.
You weren't last season, mate. Yeah,
we're Wolverhampton Wanderers. Like, you might not have heard of us before, but like, we're quite an illustrious club with a massive fan base. And it was the same with Lopetegui. I always felt that he was... That we were beneath him, and the same with Nunes.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you've all summed up pretty well. To be fair, it was good listen from back here.
Yeah, well done, Jordan. Mate. I know you wanted to get that off your chest. The thing is, though, Dave. Now we've been linked with Cole Palmer, Jason McAtee, Tommy Doyle, all good players in their own right. But we're going to end up paying Man City back the difference anyway, even if they come with a new bid, because they will go for those players, won't they?
Yeah, it was like I think Finn just said, like the Jota Hoover deal. We got shafted a little bit there. I don't know. That's one of the things as well. Like if City's saying, right, we'll do this one, do us a good deal for this, and we'll give you a good deal for another player or whatever. Yeah. But really, you don't want to be
getting ripped off. Look, they're all good players, really. They are good. Genuinely, they're good players. But I wouldn't be against getting maybe one of them in on a loan, and then obviously use the funds elsewhere on other players, really. My preference out of the three would be Cole Palmer. But he's probably more integrated into the first team. Yeah, yeah. But then they're saying about McAtee, they don't really want to sell him either. So I like some of the players that we've been linked to today, other players as well. So yeah. I don't know, we'll wait and see. But it's going to be really interesting. Wolves ideally need this deal. If it's going to go through, they need it done sooner rather than later. So they've got a bit of breathing space to get a few more bodies before
Friday. I think they'll know that if the deal's going to happen or not. So you can put the foundations with the deals.
Oh, of course.
It'd be naive to...
But you don't want to piss other clubs off at the same time.
You know what's going to happen though, don't you? It'll go on the last day and it'll be like, sorry guys, we didn't have time. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's difficult. I think loans are more likely now and the end of the window anyway.
What I'd quite like Matt Hobbs and Jeff Shea to do is say, yeah, we'll accept 70 million and then we'll give you 25 million for Tommy Doyle. And then as soon as he signs the deal, say, fuck off, sitter. Oh, you've just been murked. Oh, questions time. Running out of time here, but good discussion there. But Freezing Wolf has asked, I know you guys love the colloquial pronunciations of players' names, but there's two that nobody seems to be consistent with. Sar, is it Jose or Jose? And Kalidosic, is it Saza or Sasha? Sar is Jose, because I mean, I know you speak a little bit of Spanish, Finn, but in Portuguese, a J is hard, and then in Spanish, it's...
Yeah, I learned that one from the Tottenham documentary when Jose Mourinho's talking to Tanganga and he was like, so how do I pronounce your game? And he said, I just want to know because people have pronounced my name wrong my whole career. Yeah, because it's Portuguese. It's Jose. It's a Jose, not a Jose.
Yeah, yeah. I believe Kalidosic. If you look how his missus pronounced it on the announcement video, it's Sasha.
Yeah, he's Sasha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Lynx Wolf has asked, whatever happened to a quick passing style of football? Remember that goal versus Sheffield United under Nuno? It's exciting to watch Nunes and Cunha slalom in tackles, but for me, we rely on it too much. I wholeheartedly agree with this. I can't remember the last time we consistently attacked playing quick passes. I agree. The only way we look like scoring at the minute is like through individual pieces of brilliance where someone has to go through two or three players. Jordan, would you prefer like a something a bit more sustainable? I know it's good to watch, don't get me wrong, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely you would, but we need to get the personnel in place to be able to play that sort of football, and I don't think we've got the personnel to play. Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? It's about substance and style, and have we got the players that can go from one end of the pitch to the other at the moment, explosive pace and power? Probably not. Like we used to be able to by playing, you know, we're a lethal counter-attacking team under Nuno. And I know that Sheffield United performance, everyone's like, oh, we dominated the ball. And, you know, there's some lovely goals in that game. There was, but A, we were playing Sheffield United, who were pony that season. And second of all as well, like, a lot of those players aren't here anymore either. And it was pre Neto injury. It was pre Jimenez injury. You know, we did change after that a little bit. So absolutely would love to see great football, but I still think we play good football at Man United. I think we play good football in large parts of the Brighton game as well. So
we're going to be like 55-60 and we're talking about that Man United performance. everything goes back to that Man United performance. Trash Wax Records has asked, how many new players do you think the guys we'll think we'll come in before the Palace game? We'll start with you, Dave.
My head says one.
But my body.
No, I can't reference him. My head says one. My heart says three.
Finn?
I'll meet in the middle of Dave's head and heart and say two. I think you need a centre back, definitely. And then probably, one of the City boys. I think I'm not happy, City maybe boy. Content with that.
City boy.
I think if Nunes goes, I'm going to be optimistic and say we're going to get four people through the door.
How much?
How about if Nunes stays, which looks very unlikely, but...
Well, none, because apparently we haven't got a pot to piss in. Mm. If you believe what everyone says.
Nobody's going to know.
Load of bollocks.
Salop, is it Salop or Salop? As in like Salopians?
Salop, isn't it?
Salop. Gents, if Nunes goes, how much do you think we'll realistically invest in players before the window closes? So if Nunes does go, that's going to be around 150, 160 million recouped. We've obviously spent £50 million on Cunha and £11 million on Boubacar or around about that. But how much do you think we'll spend, Dave, between now and Thursday, Friday?
If you get your 60 for Nunes, I think you'll see 30 to 40 of that spent. Say 35 million roughly spent.
How about if Nunes stays?
Nunes stays, we'll get one loan in. That'll be it. We won't spend our money.
We are cooking. Yeah. Finn?
Yeah, I was thinking about half of it, maybe 30. I think loans we just haven't looked at. It's been something we've been so good with, isn't it, over the years, and just haven't looked at them this season. So
I don't know why, though. Like,
yeah, I know.
I don't know why we haven't done it. We've had so much success over the years with the loan obligation combination. Jord?
I think if we sell him, I reckon we'll spend about 45 million of it.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that from you.
Well, we've got to, haven't we? I think like this is bonus money. I think they've recouped what they wanted to recoup, and they don't want to sell Nunes. Otherwise, they'd have already agreed the fee. So I feel like if we sell him, we will be reinvesting a lot of that. I think it'd be interesting. I'd want to get Doyle or McAtee back the other way on a permanent, and Cole Palmer on loan if you can do it. And I know people are saying I thought Cole Palmer was a bit of a stretch then, but actually when I thought about it.
Just signed Doku, so it makes it a bit more...
Nunes can play wide, Foden can play wide. You know, it might actually happen that you're about to get him. I would really like Harwood Bellis as well. Like, I think that's a really good centre-half for us to go after. Like, under-21 captain for England, won the Euros. Doesn't seem like anyone's really having any concrete interest with him. I think he'd be a really good one to get in as well. And then the Iheanacho rumour that circulated a couple of hours ago before we recorded, I think he's a goal scorer. I've never been all that convinced about his overall game, but he's a goal scorer, and we lack a goal scorer as the stats would show at the moment. So you know, I think Fabio could be that goal scorer, but Iheanacho is a goal scorer and he could prove it. So if you could get someone like him in as well, definitely would be looking at it.
I really like him. I really like Iheanacho. He's still only 26 as well. So there's room to improve. He's 27 in October, but yeah, I really like that link. I think he offers us something that we haven't got as well.
If we sign him and he gets us 15 goals before the end of the season, I'll get a shirt with Iheanacho on the back.
15 goals, all comps.
Yeah, all comps. Iheanacho.
There you go.
Yeah, I think we need to up the stakes.
Go on then, what then?
Because 15 goals, like, I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I feel like the
15 goal contributions, Iheanacho.
No, 15 goal contributions. I think you need a tattoo.
What do you say? Sorry, cut out genuinely. Cut out for me then.
15 goals. You have an Iheanacho tattoo.
Not a tattoo. No, no.
Mate, it's fucking better than the ones you've got already. So you might.
People are still waiting for my Ruben Neves tattoo that I spoke about 7 years ago.
You have to get it, Dave, as if it's like the name and number on a Premier League shirt on your back.
Yeah. Like a proper like British Dar in Benidorm. Yeah.
Nacho 9, there you go.
Actually sounds like the next biggest baller coming from the Liga, though. That does,
knowing your look, you'd have that tattoo and then a week later he'd be nicked for something.
That would happen, yeah.
Okay, 20 goal contributions. Would you get Iheanacho? Really small somewhere.
All right, 20 goal contribution and we stay up. I'll get Iheanacho, yeah. He ain't going to fucking do it.
Tattooed on you. There we go.
I really hope he's signed.
Place of my choice. Well.
A place of your choice.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. I'll be groin. There we go. Iheanacho, can we have a picture of you? No, he's not even.
I've actually got a tattoo of you, Ian. Yeah, let me roll this back.
For people that don't understand, by the way, basically, it was like last year or the year before, there was a Wolves fan on Facebook that says, I really want us to sign that striker from Leicester, Ian Nacho. As in Ian and Nacho. That's where the joke comes from.
I think a lot of people do call him Ian Nacho, though, don't they? But so 20 goal contribute if he signs. So he's got to sign. 20 goal contributions. You have an Ian Nacho, just Ian Nacho. Don't need a number. Ian Nacho tattoo. I reckon that we put 4 body positions and do it as a Twitter poll.
Yeah,
as long as it's fair, as long as it's not on my head or my fucking.
No, like I kept saying,
Jolly Roger.
Bottom of your foot.
Yeah, that's a tapping. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, tickle.
Yeah, but it rubs off.
Why would we do a poll on this? I reckon if he gets 20, tramp stamp.
like a big tramp stamp and Ian Nacho
like that.
You know what? He's going to sign and this is going to be his fucking. He's going to be up for it now. He's like, fucking do it.
I can imagine.
He's in the badge in front of SL1 every fucking week.
Gonna be like
imagine with a penalty in front of the South Bank. Dave's going to go, boo!
Nil-nil at 90 minutes, and I'm doing that to the fucking.
Laser pen.
Fuck off, Ian.
Wow, I really do hope he saw it. Not just because I think he's a good player, but this could be gold.
Yeah.
Jordan, what are you doing if he scores 20 goal contributions?
You know, I'm getting the laser pin out. Yeah, 20. If he gets 20 goals, what am I doing?
Let's all assign each other, and I'll do it as well, even though I'm the host, which probably shouldn't. A player that we've been linked with, and then an objective for them if they sign, and then we have that. We have the tattoo.
I'll have Harwood Bennett's 20 goal contributions. And all right.
You haven't been linked with him.
There you go. We have. There you go.
Okay, Tommy Doyle. Jord, how about Tommy Doyle? And then
Jord, have Tommy Doyle 20 goals contribution. He ain't going to get it, is he?
I've got one for you, Jord. Tommy Doyle, 5 goals from outside the area.
Ooh.
What are we doing for it, though?
You have to have a Tommy Doyle. Yeah, Tommy Doyle's name tattooed.
Tommy Doyle tattooed. I can't...
On the bottom of your foot.
The foot sound, man. Tommy, that was off, Jord. That was genuine.
I look like fucking Woody from Toy Story. Fucking out Andy.
Quick, Tommy's coming.
Made in Bilston.
Fucking hellfire.
Finn?
Can I have, like, Kaladzic headers or something?
No, it's got to be a new signing. What would you want Kaladzic? He's already at the club. One of your variables is already complete.
But he's basically not. He's new. Like a new signing.
Can have that Jean Rick Nabellegard, the French.
Yeah,
guy,
the Strasbourg lad.
It's a long. Oh,
I think we won't score 20 goals before the end of the season.
Do they pay per letter? You have to pay per letter. I've got the.
We'll pay per letter if you get the
tackle. That's not the problem. What was his name, Dave?
Jean Rickner Bellegarde.
So if Bellegarde signs Finn and
Bellegarde. See, that's tricky because a girl might think it's like you've had Bell, aren't you? You're trying to just cover it up or something.
On the bottom of your foot. A bird is on a night out, isn't gonna have a look at the bottom of your foot.
I don't know. He's got a missus.
I don't plan on pulling anyone. Yeah, I don't plan on pulling anyone else either.
He's in a committed relationship here.
Yeah, so you'd have Bellegarde on the bottom of your foot.
I think 20 is fair. If I'm Ian Nacho, he's getting 20.
I'd say 20 goals.
I'd rather get Ian Nacho tattooed.
Ian Nacho. You'd rather have Ian's face Nacho than Bellegarde. If you're Bellegarde, you could say it's like foreign for something. It's like Spanish for I love you or something. No one's going to know.
Yeah. Maybe we cross this bridge when they've actually signed or not next week. But
that's a joke, yeah. But, what about Matt?
That's all we've got time for this week, guys.
Okay. Mateus Nunes stays and he gets
snake
0 red cards between now and the end of the season.
He's already had one, so
between now and the end of the season.
Okay, If Sam Johnston signs.
Oh, my God.
Oh God.
You're going to get the same trim as him.
And he keeps 15 Premier League clean sheets.
Okay.
Yeah, if he does that, you've got to get a pair of Son Deco goalie gloves tattooed.
Yeah. Deal.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Son Deco's.
Yeah. I want an end to the podcast. Oh, I've actually got one more question.
Oh, yeah. Get it in.
Richard asked, what happened to the no dickheads policy journalist talked about years ago? Club seems to be full of dickheads. Pedence, Gedesh, Nunch, probably more.
I don't know. We were Jordi as well, so I don't know how that passed. It's right, to be fair. I think that no dickheads thing has only really come in the last couple of years properly. You're not going to get 100% record, are you? I think Lopetegui really stamped down on it, and all those players are already here, and everyone that he's brought in seems to be at the moment sound. Mm-hmm. So I think the club are going to be a bit more aware of it now anyway.
Cool. Yeah. That's all we've got time for this week. Hopefully I'm not going to be on the next couple of podcasts because I'm going away. Dave and I might have time to do a transfer podcast before, that'd be tomorrow or Wednesday. But yeah, let's hope for a Sam Johnston.
Back and stomping.
Incoming. An Ian Nacho incoming. Bellegarde incoming. And Tommy Doyle incoming. And then Tommy Doyle gets put on. He's actually a very good striker of the ball as well, Tommy Doyle. So
no, he's not wore a Wolves shirt yet.
Yeah, that gets nerfed when you put the put your Wolves.
I reckon his first shot will end up in the fruit and veg aisle at Asda.
Unexpected item in bagging area.
That'll be when the ball's in the net.
Yeah.
If there are any tattoo artists in the Wolverhampton area who do watch the podcast, please do drop us a comment or a message if you are happy to facilitate our needs. But yeah, Dave, where can people find you should they wish?
Yeah, it's at Dave as a Party on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Bash.
Finn, where can people find you?
Finn is FINERRZ, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Finn Morris on LinkedIn.
George?
Yeah, I've just realised I've got my own Molyneux light show going on behind me. There's a light kicking out. Waiting for the fire, just go. Duff, 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 duff. So yeah, Jordan7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Jordan Russell on the LinkedIn.
Most important. M Cooperwright on Twitter, Matt Cooperwright's Twitter, YouTube, whatnot. We are Talking Wolves across all social media platforms. If you are new to the channel, please drop us a subscribe. That would be really appreciated. If you are listening on Apple and Spotify, please drop us a 5-star review again. We'd really do appreciate those. It helps our channel grow too. If you aren't new here, then drop us a like. It's the least you can do. But until next time, hopefully we've got those four key signings through the door. And they all get off to a flying start. But until next time, take care and look after yourselves.